He is a 1993 Stanley Cup champion with the last Canadian-based team to hoist the cup. He, 2 years earlier, was on that Cinderella Minnesota North Stars team that went all the way to the cup final but lost to Mario Lemieux and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Brian Bellows, good enough to take some time to join us this morning, and maybe we'll throw some comparisons, see if there are comparisons, this 2021 Habs unit to the 93 Habs team. Brian, thank you for your time this morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay, guys, doing okay.
So let's go back in time to when you were traded by Minnesota to Montreal. It was a one-for-one deal for a guy we're really familiar with here in Toronto and have fond memories of, Russ Courtnell. Were you anticipating a move out of Minnesota at that point, or did that deal take you by surprise?
I had heard, you know, rumors about it, but I think until it happens, it always takes you by surprise.
So you'd had 55 goals in 89-90, 35 for Minnesota in 90-91, and another 30 in 91-92. Then you join the Montreal Canadiens and have a 40-goal season in what would end up being a Stanley Cup-winning year. You land in Montreal. What are you thinking, playing for one of the great heritage franchises in the league? And how did that team come together over the course of the season?
You know, I think the most interesting, it was caught off guard at when the trade first happened, and, you know, immediately, you know, Coach Demers and Serge were, you know, just kind of put you at ease at the time they're what the kind of team they're building. And it helped a lot that once I got in, you know, I played with Kirk Muller before in a world championship and got to know him. So, you know, went out and hung out with him a little bit and, you know, and met on with Mike Keane and the guys, and I was immediately welcomed, and it just started from there.
Are there any, if any, similarities between that 93 Canadiens team and the Canadiens team, you know, this year that's making a run for it?
Sure. I think that obviously the number one is, you know, Carey Price, and, you know, comparing him to Patrick. If, you know, in the playoffs, you really don't get that far unless you have great goaltending. And if you want to go far, you better have really great goaltending. And it does make the difference. And other than that, it takes you back to the time like Serge Savard, that, you know, just always field a good enough team to get in because you never know what will happen. Teams come together, you know, other teams that are expected to win sometimes can't pull it all together at the right time.
What did Patrick Waugh mean to your team? I think the playoffs, it was pretty obvious, but just night in and night out, Brian, having a guy like that between the pipes playing behind you.
You know, I loved being with Patrick in a sense that, to me, he just showed almost the ultimate leadership in a lot of different ways that people haven't heard of or realized. But, you know, I liked his demeanor, and then when it, because easy going, but then once it got close to the game, you could see the game face come on, and he was ready, and he wanted to compete. He wanted to prove that he was the best in the world every day, and I loved that.
We've been talking a lot about teams coming off seven-game series versus teams coming off sweeps and the differences between, you know, is it better to have the rest or do you prefer just to jump into the next series, right? Ride that momentum. What did you prefer when you played to come off of? Did you want to play right away or did you like some of that rest and try to regroup for that next, you know, opponent?
Usually rest. It all depends how, you know, beat up your team is and what the injury status was. You know, I know coming off Quebec, I broken a couple ribs, so I missed a couple games versus Buffalo. But, you know, we swept, so then it gave me more time to rest after that. So it makes a huge difference depending on where your team is injury-wise. If you're all healthy, maybe you want to keep the momentum going. But for most part, as you move on, players get injured.
With Brian Bellows, a member of the 93 Montreal Canadiens Stanley Cup winner. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Was there a moment during that playoff run, Brian, where you guys, I mean, you always go into the playoffs believing. Otherwise, why would you even compete? But was there a moment when it seemed like, okay, we got a real shot here? And I don't know if it's something that happened specifically with your team or if it was external, like David Volek scoring the overtime winner in Game 7 against Pittsburgh to eliminate the two-time defending cup champs?
You know, I think when you look at any team that wins, a lot of things have to go right, internally, externally. They just got to kind of, you know, the stars have to align. But I think for us, when we got down 2-0 to Quebec early, and, you know, we managed to come back and win the next four, I think that really solidified us internally in our dressing room as, okay, we can do this. You know, we got over the big one, and then whoever were ready by that time, we just seemed to fall into a good sync of how, of the way we're playing. Things were going well. You know, if there was one breakdown, Patrick saved it. Other than that, we had guys scoring across the lineup, which I think is a huge key too.
We talk a lot about regular season players and playoff players and the differences. And me and Scotty talk a lot about the Leafs obviously being here in Toronto and the fact they haven't been able to have any playoff success. What is the difference for you when you played in guys that you played with that really guys that separated themselves, you know, those playoff performers from guys that just got it done in the regular season?
Yeah. I just think it's interesting. The guys can bring in, they can raise up their internal demeanor and be kind of more of an aggressive player, but yet mentally they really stay kind of, you know, quiet. So they're always processing the info, and you can just, you see guys year after year in the league when we played that were just known for it and can do it. And I think it's just, you know, internally something revs up their engine. They want to compete. This is their, you know, big chance, and every game means something. And, you know, it was known who could do it and who, you know, sometimes struggle just because of the, I think it's the intensity.
So you guys lose game one of the 93 Cup final in Montreal to the Kings, and you're trailing late in game two. And then Jacques Demers challenges the stick. It was Marty McSorley.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. The blade
illegal
on
curve.
The illegal curve on Marty McSorley's stick. I don't know if you were on the ice on the bench. Are you 100% are you 100% confident in that moment, Brian, that that stick is illegal and you guys are about to go on the power play?
I would say very confident, just because of the fact that, you know, all of us had looked at the curve. We've talked about it, and a couple of the guys that were more, you know, into grooming their sticks really thought so. And, but you're never 100%, but, you know, we believed in it, and just glad it worked out.
Overtime success. You guys won 10 consecutive overtime games in that cup run in 93, and we know Montreal certainly had some overtime success against the Maple Leafs, winning games 5 and 6 in the first round against Toronto in extra time. Is that a combination of luck? I mean, you know, a puck can go in off a skate. Puck can go in off a guy's rear end, shot from the point, deflects in. Is that a combination of luck, or is there something more to it?
You know, luck's always going to be involved. No one's ever going to say it's not. But I think the bigger key is that when you had Patrick in the zone like he was, he got better as the games went on. And after we started winning our first couple in overtime, the confidence just grew, and we felt like going into overtime, you know, Patrick's going to shut the net. And I've said it before, he just said, don't worry, guys, I will not let one in. Just, you know, get a goal. And we firmly believed it. So, you know, in that belief just grew and grew until the very end.
I'm not sure how much are you watching much of the playoffs this year? Like, do you still tune in, or is it just you know, I'm sure you watch all the Islanders games with your son with the New York organization, but this Vegas team that the Canadiens are going up against, do you think Price can steal some games, or how do you see this Vegas team this year?
Well, you know, I think that's it's probably, I'm no different than any journalist out there in the sense that we haven't seen any teams compare each other. Vegas is big, they're fast, they're talented, and they have really good goaltending. Other than that, they should be easy, right? You know, they're one of the top teams to beat. I think everyone going into the playoffs was thinking, you know, you have Vegas, and you know, you have Tampa and Colorado under kind of that top three, and then you'll just see how it goes. But, you know, when it comes down to when you play, it's still a team game. And the plan and the process you have in place can sometimes, and especially in playoffs, can sometimes overdo maybe what people perceive as the more talented and more ready team, not more ready, but I'd say the team that people thought were more entitled to it. And, you know, I look at how Montreal comes into playoffs and how their teams focus just from the past. And, you know, they take that with them, that belief that they can do it. And, you know, it's kind of no different than, you know, like in the Islanders when you have Lou Lamoriello and I have Barry Trotz. They go in, we're going to play our system and we're going to believe in each other. And, you know, the team component can outweigh what maybe what people perceive as a more talented team that you're playing. And that's the beauty of you have to play the games.